Tell the red woman as you like there, Mr. Truscott, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, right down to Truscott in Elgin, Texas. Today is February the 17th, 2024, or it is 8/8/2027. We restored our sugar service today. Open my eyes and I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Placed in my hands are the wonderful keys that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my heart, illumining, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything falls will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Pretty my God, I will to see. Open my ears, illumining, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear. Let thee the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with the children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my God I will to see. Open my heart, illumining, Spirit divine. To part two of the Kingdom of Heaven, likened unto 10 virgins. This is a 11 symbolic code number 12 of this year. Heart of. We're going to continue where we left off. It says on page 19. Daniel, let's just do a little review. Daniel 2:44-45. And in the days of these kings, that is in the days of these 10 told kings, shall the Yahweh of the heaven sit up. Now just a minute, this is the Son that's sitting up this kingdom. So Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh of the heaven, he's going to set up this everlasting kingdom of David that shall never be destroyed. He's going to set this one up during the 12th prayer by the tower, and it's what he's in the process of doing right now. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as I saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it breaks in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh has made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. For the Daniel here describes how the earth's governments come unto their end, and how the earth comes to its end. For he interpreted the stone to be this everlasting kingdom of David that is set up for these last days in the 12th hour, and it is Yahweh's, and it is the Yahshua's kingdom that Yahweh the Father has put his Son in charge of. Pointed out there in Luke 1:32-33, and Daniel, and Isaiah's prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6-8, to take up the saints. Okay, so it says, for he interpreted the stone, to be the kingdom, and it is the Yeshua's kingdom that will smite the nation, not the Yeshua coming from the heaven for the taking up the saints, as we Adventists have taught. For the Jeremiah calls the kingdom of the antipodal kingdom of the David, Yeshua's, which is Yeshua's kingdom, as Yahweh's battle axe. Jeremiah 51:20. What plainer language could be used to say that the kingdom is going to be set up before the nations come unto their end? For the trouble some have believed in this is not because of the language for the Bible used, but the trouble is with our preconceived ideas that were built up throughout the years, and the only way we can drive out our former erroneous ideas is to believe just what the Bible says. Now let us turn unto Ezekiel 36:17-19. Son of man, when the house of the Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way, and by their doings, their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted the land, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through out the country according unto their way and according unto their doings. I judged them. For this says that because of the evils of the people, Yahweh dispersed them throughout the country. Ezekiel 36:20. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, these are the people of the Yes of the Yahweh, and are going forth out of his land. For they profaned his name when it was said of them that they are the people of the Yahweh going out of his land. Is it not profaning Yahweh's name for the Gentiles to have driven Yahweh's people out of their own land and become rulers over them after Yahweh had so miraculously brought them there and set them up to be the greatest kingdom, even his kingdom on the earth? Could not the Gentiles feel that they had successfully defeated Yahweh's purpose for them? For the Yahweh's people, having brought this great curse upon themselves through their disobedience, thus profaned Yahweh's holy name in the midst of the heathen whither they went. It has been brought up to me many times that the Gentiles took Yahweh's people captive because Yahweh was not able to defend his own kingdom, and therefore he was unable for the fulfilling of his promise unto Israel. Thus was his name profaned among the heathen, all because of the disobedience of Yahweh's own people. For Gilead's sinner in our day was the last of Yahweh's own people, represented with the prophet, Brother Steve Johnson, at the head of the candlestick of Laodicea in 2002-2003. And because of his failure and disobedience to Yahweh's own people, he has profaned then the Adventist church to the world. He has profaned the Adventist name to the world because of his failure to bring a purified church in Kermit, Texas, of Gilead's sinner. His failure to do that, he became profanity then among the heathen. Okay. for the Adventist Church. Ezekiel 36:21, printed, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. In other words, they went among the heathen, they said, his name is God, Lord, and Jesus, instead of Yahshua and Yahweh, the sacred name. That's one way they profaned his name, by using those pagan titles. Whether they went, therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus says the Yahshua, Yahweh, I do not this for your sake, O house of the Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whether ye went. It was because Yahweh could no longer tolerate the sins of his people that he threw the Gentiles as a dispersion. For the heathen did not know that though now Yahweh says he will do something about it for his holy name's sake, not because his people are good. For the next verses state plainly what he will do. Ezekiel 36:23-24, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, said Yahshua the Son, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, because Yahshua is going to come down here in the person, and he's going to be sanctified with the 144,000 right here in the eyes of the Adventist Church and the eyes of the whole world. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. And that's the 144,000. He's going to gather them from the four winds of the earth. As the first fruits harvest, they've got to be gathered from the four corners of the earth. That's who he's talking about here. He's going to take them out from among the terrors that are also Adventists that will not come on and be saints. He's going to take the saints out from among the terrors, which are also brethren, and gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. That prophecy is in Isaiah chapter 11. Unto those who ask how the Yahweh can defend his, how the Yahshua the Son can defend his name, now since the heathen have dispersed throughout the nation, the ancient kingdom of his people, we need only to read unto them what the Yahweh here says, that he will gather his people back from all the countries and show them and the heathen that he will yet honor his name by the sanctifying himself in them before the heathen. That's what he did in the 144,000, the first truth of the Adventist Church. That's when this all began. Ezekiel 36:25-27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and charge you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Since all of this takes place when the Yahweh gathers his people from among the heathen, then no one can dodge the fact that unless we go into the land where the cleansing will take place, we will not be cleansed, and we will not receive the new heart and Yahweh's Spirit. After we have been taken from among the heathen, Yahweh, the Father, will sprinkle clean water upon us for the cleansing us. By this we are to understand that until the Yahweh gathers us from among the heathen, This is Yahshua the Son that's going to do the judgment. We cannot be clean after the cleansing. We'll be without spot. So the judgment time, we must remember, is a cleansing time as well as a separating time for the judgment for the living that takes place in the last parabolic hour that we're in now since 2002, the 12th, takes place when the Yahshua cleanses his people from all their filthiness and puts within them his spirit and hearts of the flesh. For this work is to be done for his people after the Yahshua has returned them into their own land. For this chapter tells us that we will never be cleansed until the Yahweh gathers us from all of the heathen and makes us what we ought to be. For the devil, however, wants to convince us that there is to be neither a land under which Yahweh's people are to go, nor a cleansing. Let us read further. Ezekiel 36:28, "And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. For the land that Yahweh gave unto our fathers is the land of Israel, which is in the beginning called Palestine, because the children of the Israel were dispersed, and his name was profaned, and for the showing that he indeed rules over the earth." The United States and prophecy is the earth, so Yahshua rules over the earth and the people. That's the righteous people, starting with 144,000. He will gather out his people from the nation and sit them right back in their own land and sanctify himself in them. That would be found in Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel 36:29-30. "I will also get you from all your uncleanness. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen." If the land of our fathers in this chapter means heaven, there would be no heathen in the existence for us to witness any more reproach of the famine, and thus the last cause of the Ezekiel 36:30 would be unnecessary and meaningless. Ezekiel 36:31. "Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquity and for your abomination." After Yahweh has returned his people unto their own land and changed their hearts and put within them his spirit, then will they have their hate their own evil doing. They will be genuinely sorry for them. This is the revival and reformation which Yahweh calls for, and which he himself will work in his people. Now let us turn into the next chapter of Ezekiel 37:15-24. "For the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write on it for the Judah, a Shiloh giver, house of David, and for the children of Israel, that's your 10 tribes, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for the Joseph, the stick of the Ephraim, and for all the house of the Israel, his companions, and join them one unto another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua, Behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of the Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel. And one king, that's the antithetical David, shall be king unto them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have the one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. For the ancient kingdoms of the Judah and Israel were dispersed. Now, however, Yahshua said that he will bring them back into their own land, or unto their own land, and join them into the one kingdom where he will sanctify himself in them. So this is Yahshua now talking. When the Yahshua does this with his people, the heathen will learn who the Yahshua is and what are his purposes in the earth. I believe that the subject of the kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-5, is one of the plainest of all subjects. In fact, the scriptures dealing with it actually need no interpretation if we believe what the Bible says, for it plainly states just what it means and is in the perfect harmony throughout its prophecies, parables, and symbols. For the only trouble there could be is that we have put an erroneous idea into our minds that there is to be no kingdom of the Yahshua on the earth, that's the Son, before his second coming. See? And that idea has to be taken out, for it is unscriptural. For the Daniel 2, that's T-O-O, talks of the kingdom of the Yahweh, saying that it shall not be left unto other people, but it will stand forever and will grow and fill the whole earth. So you see why this wicked This has got to be destroyed out of the world, and it's what's in the process of being done today. So there will be only 144,000 cut by the Yahweh's own might and taken unto Mount Zion, yet they as a servant. And as the first fruits, Revelation 7, 1 to 8, and Revelation 14, 1 to 5, are together in the great multitude, but no man should number, of the Revelation 7, 9, 10. Thus will they enlarge the kingdom that is founded for the filling of the earth. That is what Yahshua purposes to do with his people. If we would be among the wise virgins, we will not fight against the Yahweh setting up his everlasting kingdom of the heaven of the David, Daniel 2:44-45, but rather we will study about it and thus procure the extra oil. We will work for it, and we will also certainly with understanding pray as Yahshua himself taught us, the kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heaven. Okay, that brings us to the end of 11 symbolic code number 12. Well, actually, it doesn't bring us to the end. No, we got to continue on. It says, as we continue on 11 symbolic code number 12, it says, thus saith Yahweh. It says, thus saith Yahshua, the Son, I will call the captivity of Judah, that lawgiver, the tribe of David, and the captivity of Israel, that's your 10 tribes, to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of the joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all their goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. But thus saith Yahshua again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of the Judah and in the streets of the Jerusalem, that's the capital of Judah, where the leadership lives, the kings and their prelates, that are desolate without man and without the inhabitants and without the beast. For the voice of the joy and the voice of the gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Yahshua the host, for Yahshua is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of the praise into the house of the Asher, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as the first, says the Asher. Thus saith the Asher of the host, again in this place, which is desolate, without the man and without the beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of the shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of the Benjamin, and in the places about the Jerusalem, and in the cities of the Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith Yahshua. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of the Israel, that is the 10 tribes, and unto the house of the David, that's the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of the righteousness, Jeremiah 23:5, to grow up unto the David, and he shall execute judgment. Now this antithetical David is going to execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall the Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith you shall be called the Yeshua of righteousness, Jeremiah 32:7-16. Okay, it says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. True, we are establishing our headquarters on this mount that is found in prophecy. But our stay here shall be very short, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yahshua make upon the earth, Romans 9:28. Well, it might be interesting for the elder G to know that the naming of our camp, Mount Carmel Center, came about in the same way as the naming of our publications, The Shepherd's Rock. For we did not know beforehand that it was in the prophecy until after our attention was called unto Micah 7:14 and Amos 1:2. And the prophecy of the Amos we read, for the Yahshua will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither, Amos 1:2. Now this year roaring from Zion is right here on this earth, right here in Israel, with a few comments on the above scriptures. Any Bible student will recognize at a glance that it applies at the time of the end. That's in the last 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, so 2002, as explained by the gospel prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahshua's house, that's the house of David, shall be established in the top of the mountains, that's all the Adventist churches all over the world, and shall be exalted above the hill. For out of the Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3, which in the language of the Amos is, utter his voice from Jerusalem, looking unto this same time. Joel puts it as follows, and Yahshua shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2:11. As the Amos says, for the habitation of the shepherds shall mourn. For it is obvious that the Amos prophecy is yet future, for the word habitation places is in the plural form, which cannot be applied unto one shepherd's habitation, that is denomination, but unto all that be in the existence at that time. For the term shepherds means, as understood, the same as the ancient men which were before the house, the ministers. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 211. Note that the shepherds are not themselves to mourn, but their habitations, their houses, that is, the membership of the churches, which fact reveals that it will be thus at the time when the sleeping multitudes in the churches awake from their spiritual insensibility and find that the shepherds whom they have implicitly trusted for their salvation had deceived all those who followed them. For the prophet Jeremiah, in the following words, explains that fish are wailing by those who are thus deceived will be at the close of the probation. For they shall say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 20. That is, after the harvest, the time in which they could have been saved, they will realize that the probationary time has closed. Then the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Hence, before that time, the top of Carmel must have been green with much pasture. Otherwise, there would be nothing to wither. That is, though Carmel has now plenty of the pasture present to it, when the probation closes, for the Adventist churches shall be deserted, wither. For says the spirit of the prophecy, in the time of the trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages. Early writings, page 34. Thus shall the top of the Carmel wither, and those who do not take heed unto the word, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, at the length will be alarmed that their opportunity for the accepting of the truth has slipped away. Then, in their hasty, frenzied effort for their acquainting themselves with the present truth, which went forth from the top of Carmel, to their surprise, they shall find that the Carmel has finished its work, its inhabitants removed, and probation closed, at which time the inhabitants of the Carmel can but repeat, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we have nothing for this. This event has never taken place with the Shepherd's Rod and Mount Carmel. So it means that B.T. Hollis was prophesying this to be the final harvest in the 11th parabolic jar that he was in, or the 10th parabolic jar that he was in, 1930 to 1970, because Brother Johnson took over the 11th parabolic jar in 1970 with Mount Gilead. Okay, it says, then it shall come to pass that they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east, they shall run to and fro for the seeking of the word of Yeshua, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for the thirst. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of the bread, nor a thirst for the water, but of the hearing of the words of the Yeshua, Amos 8, 12, 13, 11. Oh, what a disappointment that will be. And now, mine eyes with the eyes of the lamenting prophet, do fail with the tears. For the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children of the suckling swoon in the streets of the city. For the prophets, teachers, have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquities, for the turned away of thy captivity. Verily have seen for these false burdens and causes of the banishment, Lamentation 2:11-14. And Yeshua has never left his people and the daughters, for we find the work of the shepherd's rod clearly outlined in the prophecy throughout the Bible, and the only reason that our leading brethren cannot see the truth in it and do not know who hath appointed it is because they are trying to see it through the dollars and cents instead of through the spirit of the prophecy, for the eyes for the church, through which only can they see the truth and the true state of their condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness, and a need for the eye salve. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so the things of Yahweh knoweth no man, but the spirit of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2:11. But now, as the spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:11. For without the spirit of Yahweh, no man knoweth the things of Yahweh. The Symbolic Code, Volume 1, page number 14, August 1935. This end of 11 Symbolic Code number 12. Now we have 12 Symbolic Code number 1. I don't know when he. This is. Anyway, it was written sometime in the 1950s, I guess, or June 30th, 1942. The sermon selected for this issue of the Symbolic Code was delivered by V.T. Hollis, March 14th. And June 3rd, 1942. Okay. We'll go ahead and read the prayer thought for that sermon. For the sermon selected for this issue of the Symbolic Code was delivered by the Brother Vichy Holliff on March 14th and June 30th, 1942. Prayer thought, the message we have to bear is not a message that men need cleansed to declare, for they are not to seek to cover it, for the concealing its origin and purpose. For its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day nor night, as those who have made the solemn vows unto Yahweh, and who have been commissioned as the messengers of Yahshua, as the stewards of the mysteries of the grace of the Yahweh. We are under the obligation for the declaring faithfully of the whole counsel of the Yahweh. We are not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with the eternal interest. For Yahweh has given us light in the regard unto the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of the time. That's in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, and with the pen and voice we are to proclaim the truth unto the world, not in a tame, spiritless way, but in the demonstration of the spirit and power of the Yahweh. For the mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message, and the results of its promulgation are of the moment to point heaven and earth, to both the heaven and the earth. For the controversy between the two great powers of the good and evil is soon to be ended. But unto the time of his close, there will be a continual and sharp contest. We should now purpose as did the Daniel and his fellows, and the Babylon, that we will be true to principle, come what may, for the flaming fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated did not cause these faithful servants of Yahweh to turn aside from the allegiance unto the truth, for they stood firm in the time of the trial and were cast into the furnace, and they were not forsaken of Yahweh. For the form of the fourth was seen, walking with them in the flames, and they came forth not having even the smell of the fire upon their garments. Today their world is full of the flatterers and the dissenters, but the Yahweh forbid that those who claim to be guardians of the sacred trust shall betray the interest of Yahweh's cause through the insinuating suggestions and devices of the enemy of all the righteousness. There is no time now for the arranging ourselves on the side of the transgressors of Yahweh's law, to see with their eyes, to hear with their ears, and to understand with their perverted senses. We must press together, we must labor to become a unit, to be holy in the life and pure in the charity, that those who profess to be servants of the living Yahweh no longer bow down to the idol of men's opinion, no longer be slaves unto any shameful lust, no longer bring a polluted offering to the Yahweh, a sin-stained soul. Testimonies to the Ministers, page 470-71. Our study for today is taken from the several chapters in the Isaiah, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14. Some of these chapters contain the prophecies which are illustrated by the certain experiences of the ancient people and nations which at some time were to be repeated. We shall now commence our study with only a brief review of what we have already found in the chapters 7 and 8, because our time is limited and you are all more or less familiar with it. First, it mentioned the history of the ancient Israel's unsuccessfully confederating with Assyria against Judah, for they could not prevail against her. Instead, both were taken by Assyria. Then follows the prophecy of the birth of the Emmanuel, since, however, Yahshua was born long after the kings of Israel and Syria were taken. It is obvious from the verse 16 of chapter 7 that the circumstance was to occur at some time that would be the antitype of the confederacy which took place anciently between the Israel and Syria against Judah, and that in this antitypical period both kings represented by the Syria and Israel would be taken by a power represented by the Assyria before the Emmanuel would know the difference between good and evil. Since it has already been pointed out, Yahshua, Emmanuel, did not live in a time of such a confederacy, for it must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but Yahshua himself is also a type. We learn that the Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us, could represent only his true followers, the born-again believers and the antitypical apostolic congregation of the Nazarene here in the 12th Prebiotic Hour. Through these scriptures and historical facts, we learn that the antitype of the Israel and Assyria Confederacy took place commencing in the 1st century A.D. when one part of the Israel federated with the pagans, Syria, against the other Judah, but their combined church-state power was broken by the Protestant nation Assyria after the Emmanuel born-again believers came, but before they had advanced in the truth far enough for the knowing how to choose between the good and evil, and before the younger believers represented by the second son, Mahershala Hasbaz of the chapter 8, had progressed enough even to know their father, Yahweh, and their mother, the church. After the Isaiah mentions the ancient historical confederacy, and then the sign of the Emmanuel, which we have just viewed and applied to the experience of the earthly apostolic congregation's history, Isaiah 8:9 warns against another association of the people, saying that this confederacy will likewise surely fail and fall to pieces. And for us, this is the main lesson in these chapters. We are instructed as to what to expect and what to do about it. For the period we are now in is in the antitypical Assyria, the Gentile time. For the Assyrian period is about to pass away. That's the Gentile period, and the period of the Babylon to be ushered in. But there is another thing that is to happen between the sitting up of the confederacy of the Isaiah 9 and the rise of Babylon. It is the sitting up of the Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh's people are to be taken to their own land and made free. That's in Daniel 2:44-45. That's in the days of these kings. And the Yahshua of heaven shall set up a king which shall never destroy left to other people, but it shall stand and fill the whole earth. And stand forever. In outlining the chapters, we find the order. The 7th chapter of the Isaiah brings the verse of the antitypical apostolics and the federation against them. For the 8th chapter brings in the latter-day confederacy of the people and the nations and the outcome of it. The 9th and the 10th chapters contain a continuation of the antitypical period of the Assyria, that's the Gentile time that we're still in right now, and her fall. The 11th chapter brings the setting up of the kingdom of the Yeshua, Daniel 2:44-45, and the 12th chapter expresses the praise of those in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour and in the kingdom. For the 13th chapter of Isaiah brings the burden of the Babylon. Recently, you recall we studied the 10th chapter of the Isaiah and found that this chapter brings us into the time when the period of the antitypical Assyria, that is the Gentile time period, in the last days, is to come to its end. We might naturally expect Babylon to follow next, because that period comes after the fall of the Assyria, the Gentile, antitypical Gentile nations today that are in charge of the world government But that is not correct. For Yahshua's kingdom must also come in its proper time, and that's here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. That is the child, his people, when they have become mature, born again, believers. The burden of the Babylon, therefore, is not mentioned until the 13th chapter of the Isaiah. Okay. Now, we may ask ourselves, why the symbolization of the government of Yahweh's kingdom as given in Isaiah 11 is in the form of the rod and the branch and the root. Other figures might have been used that would be just as fitting, but Yahweh chose these. Why? It must be noticed that the 11th chapter starts with the word and, showing that it is a continuation of the 10th chapter. Now let us read Isaiah 10, 33 and 34. Behold, the Yahshua of the host shall top the bow with the terror, and the high ones of the stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humble, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with the iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. As the 11th. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that's the Adventist church today, and a branch, that would be Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2010, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Okay, that's Jeremiah 23:5-7. For the people are illustrated as trees. Yahshua is first to take out, as the son of the people, clean the land, and then a branch shall stand. In other words, one sit is to be taken out completely, and a new sit is to stand in its place. For the land of our fathers, Palestine, or the land of Israel as we know it today, then will be clean from all of the wicked and wickedness. And Yahshua's people will be there with the Yahshua's principles and influence ruling over them. You see then that these chapters are arranged in the correct order and put in other terms. It can be said that when this association of the Isaiah 8 is urged, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13 is about to pass off, and the other period represented by the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17 is about to come on the stage of the action with the fall of the Assyrian, that's the Gentile nation. The land in the land of the promise is also prepared for the Yahweh's people to come, and there set up a place for those who are to be called out of the Babylon to come where there are neither sin nor sinners. Those are Yahweh's plan. For the rest of chapter 11 describes the condition of Yahweh's kingdom and the way his people are brought there, and continuing on with the praise of the righteous in the kingdom, chapter 12 commences with the word. And let us read through this chapter and make a few comments as we proceed. Isaiah 12:1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahshua, the Son, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. In the first purified Yahshua's kingdom, described in the preceding chapter, Yahweh's people will praise him, though he had been angry with them. When was he angry with them? When he had to use the Gentile nation, the Assyrians, for the dispersion of them because of their rebellious and idolatrous ways in 721 B.C. when they are brought back into the kingdom during these last days and are comforted, then they will understand all of the Yahshua's dealings and will praise him for it. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, Yahshua is my salvation by his blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 10:19-20. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. This is the testimony that the Yahshua people will bear in his kingdom. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with the joy shall you draw water out of the wells of the salvation. Now the Yahshua speaks. When the Yahweh's people are safely and peacefully situated in the land of the promise, when they bear their testimony of the faith and the trust in the Yahshua, then the Yahshua says that they will, with the joy, draw water, that is present truth, out of the wells of the salvation. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall you say, praise the Yahshua, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. For the 144,000 will do this very thing when they go unto all the nations. Isaiah 12:5. Sing unto the Yahshua, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. All the earth is to know of the Yahshua's excellent things. Isaiah 12:6. It says, cry aloud and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of the Israel in the midst of thee. That's Yahshua. For the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb will cry out and shout for the joy. Okay. How plain it is that the Yahshua, what the Yahshua is about to do, that the Yahshua is about to do a great thing in the earth that all will know about. Before this message came, we were unable for the place in all of these events, but how clear they are now. We already learned that with the fall of the Assyrian, that's the Gentile rulership over Yahweh's people, that Yahweh sets up his kingdom. And the Gentiles had their period of time too. And then Babylon comes on the stage of the action. Therefore, the burden of the Babylon is mentioned in the next chapter, which we shall now study. This brings in our study. Our contact is at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The way of the cross leads home. And I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but I shall never get tired of the gates of life. It's the way of the cross I'm in. And the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know there's an undead God. The way of cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. if I ever climb to the heights sublime, in the wrestle that I hold with you. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know it far with God. The way of the cross leads home. And I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in its never more. For my ass has come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross is home. The way of the cross is home. It is sweet to know that I met God, the way of the cross is home.